Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, cultural enrichment, and all-inclusive fares. Discover more at Viking.com.
Here's your money briefing for Monday, June 21st. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. Americans are currently holding more than $1.5 trillion of student loan debt. That debt can affect your ability to do all sorts of things, including get a mortgage. Now the government is stepping in to try and make that easier.
You have just a generation of younger borrowers, people coming out of school, undergraduate, graduate school, and trying to buy their homes, and the homeownership rate is depressed in that demographic.
Coming up, our housing reporter Andrew Ackerman will take us through the math and explain how prospective homebuyers have been sidelined by high student debt and how a new change at the Federal Housing Administration aims to address the issue. That's after the break.
This episode is brought to you by Vanta. Managing the requirements for modern security programs is increasingly challenging. Vanta's trust management platform helps you quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for SOC 2, ISO 27001, and more. Plus, save time by completing security questionnaires with Vanta AI. Learn how by watching Vanta's on-demand demo at vanta.com/WSJ. That's VANTA.com/WSJ.
The Federal Housing Administration, or FHA, is moving to make it easier for people with a lot of student debt to buy a home. Andrew Ackerman covers the housing and banking industries for us. He's been looking into this change, and he joins me now to explain how it works. Andrew, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
So it's a little bit complicated, but can you walk us through how someone's student loan debt can affect whether they're eligible for a mortgage or not?
When someone wants to buy a home, they go talk to a lender. The lender will, you know, sort of determine what their debts are, what their income is. They do this whole underwriting process. And as part of that process, they're going to look at your student debt. And up to now, they've assumed that people with these plans pay 1% of the unpaid principal balance, or 12% a year. But for a certain growing segment of people with student loans, the borrower is paying them back at a slower pace than they originally planned to pay them. Either they have a deferral or they are in what's called an income-based repayment plan, which is a pretty fast-growing area of the student loan market. So for people with high debt loads, that can just kick them out from financing, even in these, particularly in the FHA space, where people tend to have more modest incomes. I talked to somebody in DC who had more than $200,000 in debt. And right off the bat, the lender's looking at this guy's finances, and they have to assume that he's got a $2,000 plus payment in student loans because he's in an income-based repayment plan, and the way Federal Housing Administration's regulations have worked up to this point.
And so how does the new formula change things?
The formula changes things by, we're going to look at your actual payment. We're not going to create a number out of thin air that's 1%. It's going to be the actual payment or an alternative that's closer to the actual payment. For the most part, the 1%, a lot of the industry groups and consumer advocates who are involved in lobbying for this change, they argue that the 1% figure was inflated, that it would lead to inflated DTIs, debt-to-income ratios for people. And it was a big roadblock to access to financing for lower-income people. The other important factor is that this is going to help people specifically on income-based repayment plans because their payments are going to be well below the 1%. And so they will qualify for more house, or they'll have an easier time qualifying for an FHA mortgage.
Let's talk more about those income-based repayment plans. That's one way in which how people repay their student loans has shifted in recent years. How is that playing into this change to the lending formula? And who's the change going to actually benefit?
There's some other federally guaranteed loan programs is Fannie and Freddie. They tend to cater to a different demographic, but they've made this change already. FHA just moves at a slower pace, and they cater more disproportionately to minority borrowers. So for the Biden administration, they've come into power and they've made a pledge to address racial equity, particularly in housing. And one of the levers, one of the policy levers that you want to pull is around this issue. It's something FHA has been under pressure to do by the industry and by consumer advocates. And it's one of several policy steps you can do to kind of address the racial gap in home ownership.
Now, we've talked on this show before about the rise in student debt and also about low home ownership rates among young people. Are those two things actually connected?
The New York Fed a few years ago did some research that did argue that those two phenomena are connected. So you have a racial home ownership gap, and you have just a generation of younger borrowers, people coming out of school, undergraduate, graduate school, and trying to buy their homes, and the home ownership rate is depressed in that demographic. That's particularly important for the FHA program. More than 80% of the FHA program is for first-time home buyers. So the bulk of FHA is for that type of buyer.
And ultimately, how effective is this formula change likely to be, especially in the current hot housing market?
It's an open question. The people I've talked to say that you can make it easier for FHA borrowers to qualify for a loan, but that doesn't do anything to require a seller to, you know, pick them. If there's multiple bids on a property, a lot of properties are, you know, people are buying homes now all cash. A seller in that situation is going to kind of want to pick somebody who's just going to give them a load of cash instead of someone who has financing that, you know, has to be set up. And there's some research on that. There's a NAR, a realtor's survey of their members that found, unfortunately, that sellers are a bit more reluctant to take to FHA financed loans than sort of conventional loans from Fannie and Freddie. Supporters of this policy are hoping that it will qualify for more people. And there are neighborhoods, you know, in the country where people are looking to buy homes that aren't experiencing the, you know, sort of red hot frenzied housing market where there's just like tremendous demand and very limited supply.
All right. That's Wall Street Journal reporter Andrew Ackerman. Andrew, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.